It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome into the show. Breathe in, breathe out. Never mind. And we can put off talks of drastic changes to the Rockets because they came out and did what they had to do. They took control of Game 5 early and put the Warriors in a position where they had to have a discussion at halftime about, hey, let's give a good 5 minutes. And if we cut into this lead, we'll keep trying. And if not, we'll just pull our guys. And while the Warriors' offense got going a little bit, the Rockets matched them. And by the time Steve Kerr decided enough was enough with his starters, the Rockets are still up like 25-plus points, something like that. It got a little sketchy late. I had the game on mute, so I don't know what the anxiety levels were. Were there murmurings going on in the crowd as the Pat Spencers of the world and Moses Moody of the world are inching ever closer and closer? And hell, if that one Warrior can make a layup, who knows? I got to get that guy's name because he was awful around the rim.
Braxton Key?
Yeah, Braxton Key. If he could make a layup, that game could have got to single digits. And then maybe Steph Curry would have actually finished lacing up his ankle braces and tried to come back in the game.
Braxton Key was 0 for 7 in 12 minutes.
He shot a 3.
It was a plus 12, though, plus minus.
Yeah, he shot a 3, which had no chance of going in. You could just tell by his shooting stroke that that had no shot. But he missed like 4 or 5 point-blank opportunities. And if not for that, maybe Steph does get in the game. Maybe we're having probably not a different conversation. I don't know if the Rockets give it all away. But it was a little odd that they had to insert their starters in. And they took them out because they were so dominant through 2.5 quarters. It's always interesting to watch how these games go because the team who's down always quits first with the starters. And then the team who's up big, you know what? Let's give it a couple minutes because we want to make sure this game is salted away. And so the Rockets starters stayed in for maybe 2 or 3 more minutes than the Warriors starters did. And even some of the Rockets bench players are, in some cases, in the regular season, part of the rotation, like Aaron Holiday was in the game, Jabari Smith was in the game. So the Rockets kept their guys out there for a little bit. And then the fourth quarter took place, and then the Warriors went on a big run with their backups. And we had not a close game, but a game where Ime Udoka had to decide, what am I going to do here? Am I going to ride this out and hope that Nate, he brought in Nate Williams late, but my backups are going to be good enough to secure this win against the Warriors' third stringers? And turns out they weren't. So the starters came back in. Dylan Brooks knocked down a shot. I think Fred might have knocked down one too. Either way, after getting as close as, did it get to 11? But as close as 13, the Rockets were able to push the Warriors aside. And a lot of it had to do with that altercation. If you tuned out, I understand. If you went to go watch something else because you felt the game was over, one of the missed layups by Key led to a Dylan Brooks defensive rebound, and what could have been a tie-up but was ruled a foul was called on Pat Spencer, and then he gave a little extra shove to Dylan, and Dylan fell to the floor. He looked like he was going to get up and have a conversation with Spencer, but the referee got in the way. So Alpern came over, saw what happened, and gave Spencer a little bump. But Alpern didn't watch a lot of California Classic basketball like I did, because Pat Spencer's one of those dudes who doesn't take anything from anyone. I could tell because I would watch those summer league games, and no one on the other team liked him. Like, he was in it with someone in all the games I watched because he went hard all the time. And at some points, guys like, all right, man, relax, relax. He was not one of those guys who's going to relax. And you might understand it, fighting for a spot considering his backstory. I mean, the guys that this morning talked about it quite a bit, former lacrosse player, decided to give basketball a shot, and now he's playing in playoff games in non-meaningful minutes. But even still, his attitude is one where I'm going to fight, scrap and claw. So when Alpern bumped him, I am not surprised he responded with a headbutt. That's his vibe. And Alpern said, wait a minute, what? But before he could do anything, Trace Jackson Davis shoved him too. So you had the two technicals. Pat Spencer gets ejected. We didn't have that on our betting card when
first
we talked
ejection.
About people who would get ejected from a game in the series. No, I didn't say Pat Spencer, but because of Alperin trying to try him, Pat Spencer said, "Nah, not me. I'm not the one. You might try that with Moses Moody, but don't try to play me." Alperin's got a lot of all the qualities we used to talk about with Euros in the 90s. The complaining, the hands up in the air, palms up when he doesn't get a foul call. He's a bit of a flopper. And now he's thrown on, which is more of an American Draymond thing. I'm going to bully someone who I think I can get away with. He tried it with Pat Spencer. Spencer said, "Nah, not me."
He jumped up and headbutted him.
Yeah, he had to. He had to try. It was the height differential, Şengün to Spencer or Giannis to John Halliburton, because they're both made head to head contact. It was about the same as far
I
as
I feel like. It actually is pretty similar.
Yeah. Either way, head to head contact was in both instances. Halliburton, John, that is simply a father, so he's probably not going to get thrown out of that arena. Because his son is the star point guard, so he's going to continue to watch games. Spencer doesn't have that backing, so he had to go. And who knows, if Pat Spencer hung around, maybe the game gets to single digits because he wasn't scared of anyone. But you got to credit the Rockets for this, taking care of business, understanding the situation. That the Warriors, as a veteran team, I mean, no one's ever going to admit to it, but they probably came in here thinking, look, if the Rockets want to give us this game, we'll take it. But if the Rockets are going to play it at the level that they played game five at early. You know that Warriors are like, whatever. We got game six at home.
Yeah.
No, they're never going to say it, but you've seen enough series to know that's kind of how these things go. With the veteran team, they got their two at home. Right or wrong, they think we're just going to win this in the Bay in game six. So we will be there. The Rockets want to fumble something away. We'll come and take it. But if not, whatever.
Yeah, they came in. They're like, James Harden there? No James Harden? Okay, so we're just going to lose this one.
Yeah, true.
These guys are going to actually show up this time. Okay, we're out.
And Fred had another great shooting night, which that's now two in a row. Unfortunately, they wasted his efforts in game four. We're talking Fred, I just had a kid Van Vliet from like 2019. That's,
I know.
That's the version you're looking at right
Warriors
now.
Warriors killer.
Yeah, well, he did have his moments throughout those playoffs, and including against the Warriors. We'll see if he can stretch that to two more games. Dylan Brooks, another good performance. Amen Thompson, who did not like the way he was playing early in the series, responded with a big night. Him picking up Steph at half court, taking the ball away, going down after challenging Quentin Post. Quentin Post did a nice job challenging him. No foul. Amen misses the layup. He gets it back and gets the and one on Gary Payton the second, and then gets into Gary Payton's face and says words I cannot repeat. I recognize what he said, even not being a great lip reader. It was, I'm going to be like the Texans with their acronym. I think he called him an H-A-N.
H?
Think of curse words.
Hungry.
Unlikely.
Humble.
Not so much. An H-A-N, I think, is what he called him.
Okay. Nincompoop.
Sure. A naysayer, maybe, even.
A neighbor.
Yeah. Hungry ass neighbor. Sure, that's what he said. But I was trying to figure out Amen's comp, and I think I figured it out. And by the way, this is before we knew all we knew about this player. He's got some young Ron Artest in him.
On court only.
On court. Yeah, I said before we knew more.
Yes.
He's got some young Ron Artest in him on the court where he's not to be played with. His teammates even have to get in. Like Dylan Brooks has to shove him away from GP2 because he's a little fearful of what might happen if he lets Amen bark at this guy. And if GP2 says the wrong thing back, you never know what's going to happen. And that's my point with Amen.
Dylan Brooks, the peacemaker.
Yeah, Amen plays on an edge that I don't know if there's going to come a point where he leaps over that edge in a meaningful moment. Like, we can talk about the flagrant two on Giannis. He got after Maxi Kleber, threw a forearm in his throat. Of course, we know about the Tyler Hero thing. I mean, that edge is stoked by Ime. That's part of their personality. That's part of how their identity, which is great. I just don't know if the governor is in place to keep Amen from jumping over the line at some point. Does he understand the moment? Does he understand that when you're up 20, There's no real need to possibly get into a fight with GP2 if GP2, you know, shoves him. Is Amon going to be able to have the self-control that if GP2 was like, all right, bro, we're getting our ass kicked. I ain't going to take this from you. I'm going to shove you. Does he know?
What you're saying is if he did that to Pat Spencer or Cam Spencer, whichever
Pat
one.
Pat Spencer. I think Cam's is like brother. There is another Spencer. He's an athlete.
He played at UConn.
Yeah. If Pat Spencer headbutts Amon, does Amon have the self-control not to swing on Pat Spencer or throw him to the ground?
I don't know. That, I can just say I don't know.
Exactly. That's the thing. All of that emotion, I think the broadcast, at least the national broadcast, talked about it. You can have emotion, but don't be emotional. Amon sometimes borders on the emotional, which can be a problem in a moment because of how important he is. He is a remarkable defender, athlete, and that offensive game will continue to grow. We see him when he has a like kind of that running start where they spread the floor for him and just give him the ball and say, hey, go make a play. That Euro step to get him into a spot. He made one play in that game where he did the Euro step thing that he does, and he leaps. And he seems to hover in the air as it might. I don't know who it was.
I think it was Post.
Was it Post
that just like goes by him?
And there, not that was that one. There's another one where there's a defender, a smaller defender, who leaps, but comes down, and Amon's still in the air, almost like he's hovering, and he was able to get the layup in over him. That's the type of talent he is. You just have to hope that the emotion that he plays with and that he thrives on is something that he can manage. Because I don't know. I said Ron Artest for a reason, because Ron Artest, we against the Rockets, remember that? Was it a playoff series where he just elbows James Harden in the head, or was that a regular
Lakers
season game?
That was Lakers Thunder in like
20. Yeah. He just, bang!
And then was like, I didn't see him there. I'm like, you just threw an elbow. Where were you throwing that elbow?
So this is what I'm
to the ear of James Harden.
This is what I'm saying. And once again, separate the off the court Ron Artest
from the artist,
from what he is on the court. There's just some of that in him where I'm not always sure that he's going to come out of a potential confrontation remaining in the game.
So if there's a moment where there's a hard foul and it needs to be separated, you think Amon Thompson might lay down on the scores table to cool off, and then someone will throw a cup at him, and then he'll run into the crowd and beat up a guy who's holding a cup? You think that's on the table?
That's an oddly specific scenario.
I'm just like, theoretically, whatever.
Yeah, that's oddly specific. No, I don't think so.
But
I can't rule it out.
To be fair, we also didn't think that would happen with Ron Artest.
Yes, that's why I said I can't rule it. Like some players, I can rule it out with. I cannot rule it out. And that's something that has to be figured out.
Reed Sheppard, if that happens to Reed Sheppard, do you think he's jumping into
First of all, Reed Sheppard's not laying on a scores table. There's a level of arrogance and relaxation that you have to do that.
Yeah. Honestly, just to get to that point of the malice of the palace, you already have to be a certain type of guy.
Yeah. And Reed isn't that type of guy. Amon may be that type of guy. But right now, all we know is he is a very important part of a team who's trying to get to a game six. I mean, game seven.
Last part about this. Do you think the end of the third quarter and the start of the fourth quarter, Ime Udoka was like, see why I'm not playing Reed Sheppard? You see why I'm not doing this?
There are times where we kind of give it, we speak out of the side of our mouth. Well, the coach obviously knows more than us. This is an example the coach is showing you. I know more than you. Stop asking for this guy to play. This is an example. Trust me, I may make mistakes. Like, you may want more Şengün and Adams on the court at the same time.
Call of game four.
Yeah. You may want more double bigs. You may think Jabari needs more minutes. But there are some things I am right on. Stop asking me about why Reed Sheppard's not playing.
And Cam Whitmore is like one step below that.
Yeah, Cam Whitmore. Like,
I'm not even playing him until it's 100% a blowout.
Yeah. Look, people are going to react after playoff games, particularly against this Warriors team. You're going to be very emotional about it. You want to win. You want to win. I get it. But the calls for Cam Whitmore to play?
Although.
Should Ime should stop being stubborn and play Cam Whitmore? Why? Why do you think Cam Whitmore is going
to
be
seasons on the line too?
Yeah. Why do you think Cam Whitmore in this particular series against this team is going to provide a spark? Look, the difference in the last couple of Rockets, the two Rockets wins, you got good shooting from your backcourt. And I understand when you're not getting that, you want Cam Whitmore to play a part. But Cam Whitmore is another guy who's never played in a playoff game. Maybe his legs are a little wobbly like Jalen's were. Maybe it's too big for him. We didn't find that out. What we did find out is he's not even good enough to play in a 28-point game. Yeah. He had to play very late in a game after the game was definitely decided.
Yeah. I also think, though, if you played in the third, when the third quarter emptying of the benches happened, which is something very rare that you see in the third quarter that all the starters are out, maybe it doesn't go down like that.
You think Cam Whitmore's the difference between
just like it's like an 18-point game instead of like
he knocks down a couple
game.
Shots.
Yeah, it just makes a
cut. So in place of Reed Shepard is what you're saying.
In place of any of Holiday, any of the guys. Jabari Smith was out there.
This is what I'm saying. They did have rotational guys out there as that lead was dwindling away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the starters came back. But, hey, the big part about it is they responded. They did not want their season to go down that way where you're dropping another one and you're losing in five. Instead, you're going back to San Francisco with the Warriors to see if you can get to a game six and then stretch it to a game seven. So you credit the Rockets for this. I mean, we can talk about the ins and outs, the little things that happened in the game, but you do give them credit for winning game five in the way they did and making sure this is a long series as opposed to a short one where Golden State is resting as they get ready for, well, the Timberwolves. The Wolves go in L.A. and beat the Lakers. They take the Lakers out in five, and that will be part of a future segment we do on this show where we get back into our playoff scapegoats. We did it last week. The Rockets would have had at least one person on the list if they had not won last night, but we can avoid that conversation. Maybe we continue to avoid it because they come back and win the series, but at least until next week. But also, we'll get to that. Maybe there's a Laker on it. Maybe it's a Laker coach. There's a lot to get to here as we begin the show. So if you want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776 is that number. Continue to talk Rockets. We'll hear from some of the participants because really a media-generated controversy that isn't really one occurred where players had to answer questions about something they weren't that concerned about simply because the Warriors broadcast has some thoughts on how the Rockets were defending Steph Curry. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about more Lakers-Wolves and anything else you want to get into. 713-780-3776. Me and Sean, till noon, we will be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Specific things you know that you want to work on this offseason?
Yeah. My reads.
That's Amen Thompson. I can't find a clean version. There's a lot of music coming after that and the highlights of all his rage moments this year, but he's aware. We don't normally hear that from a basketball player. Yeah, I got to work on my dribble. I got to work on my handling, counter moves, shooting, one-on-one play, defense, my rage.
Yeah, for Amen Thompson not to say shooting there. He was like, me getting thrown out of game.
I'm aware there's something very important that I have to get to that doesn't involve putting the ball in the basket.
He also didn't say, like, managing my rage.
No.
Maybe he wants to be better with his rage.
You know,
more focused.
What did the Hulk say? What's the secret? I'm always angry.
There we go.
Is Amen just always angry? He just has to find a way to manage it. I don't know. But there it is. I'm not just – look, I am just watching it from afar, watching the games and noticing some things. He's aware. I'm sure they talked to him about it. Like, hey, man, you're too important to be getting suspended for games because you want to toss a 195-pound shooting guard around at the end of a game. We need you. So he knows. I think the Rockets know. And I think that's why Dylan Brooks jumped in there and shoved him away from GP2. Amen Thompson, very important, had a great night. You just hope those great nights continue because he stays on the court. But hey, we'll see him in game six definitely as the Rockets try to get that one to force it back to Houston. So their opponent, if they do get out of the series will be the T-Wolves. They put it on the Lakers. That's why the T-Wolves, man, they're scary. As much as they got off to a bit of a slow start because they're incorporating Julius Randle after losing Cat when they made the trade. And, of course, Dante DiVincenzo as well was along with Ant and their wings and Naz Reid and the size of Gobert. They're a problem, as the kids would say. They're particularly a problem when J.J. Redick doesn't play a center. J.J. Redick has made a couple decisions over the last two games that people are taking to task. One was not playing anyone but his starters in the second half in game four when they lost to Minnesota in mini. And then last night, you know what? I know you think I should play a center, but my center is Jackson Hayes.
Yeah, that's why
I'm not going to play a center.
That's why I'm not mad at J.J. Redick.
Of course, the counter is you let Rudy Gobert have a crazy game because you had no one of size in there.
He would have done that to Jackson Hayes.
Yeah, Jackson Hayes. And Jackson Hayes, of course, asked about it. Go, hey, well, it's their decision. I mean, what do you want from me? I mean, coach is a coach, pretty much was his response. But I do give Rudy credit for this. I saw Luka try to go after him a couple times, and Luka had nothing for him.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if that was Rudy just like he got his mojo going a little bit because he was, I mean, literally just catching the ball under the basket and dunking.
Yeah.
But honestly, for Rudy Gobert,
sometimes that's an issue, catching the basketball.
Yeah, that's actually a good game. That's a great showing.
27-24 for Rudy last night.
Whew.
The best player on the floor, you can say, when you have LeBron, Luka, and Ant Edwards. Now, his level of difficulty is different. Like, he's probably playing on a freshman. While all the other guys to get to their level have to play on Heisman to reach the kind of point totals that he got, but he was a big factor in knocking out the Lakers, who will have plenty of questions to answer, J.J. Redick in particular. But the Wolves are next for whoever wins this series, and it's early. I'm not sure I like either team.
Yeah,
against that Minnesota team.
Do you think the Rockets match up well against them, or do you think the team that is basically in a close game every game with the Rockets is going to match up well against them?
The Rockets have the athletes to match up well, so that one is where the Rockets and their athleticism becomes a factor that becomes a problem for Minnesota. But I think Minnesota, with Anthony Edwards as the lead, I favor in that one. And
yeah.
And they'll have a big rest advantage because the Rockets
they'll have
come
at least
back
2 days. Yeah.
The game one won't be until Tuesday.
Yeah.
So the Rockets will have 1 day off if they take out Golden State on Sunday. Now they don't have to travel.
When I said 2 days rest advantage, I was building in Golden State winning game six.
Oh. Sean already down on our Rockets chances.
Come on.
Golden State treated game five yesterday like they had game six in their back pocket, and that's the one they're going to win. So they are acting that way.
Dangerous move, but
yeah.
I don't know. If I'm Steve Kerr, do you know what I do? I rolled out a starting lineup of Pat Spencer, Trace Jackson Davis, Braxton Key, Moses Moody.
Not my starting lineup.
And that other guy who was out there.
Guy Santos, yeah.
And I'm just like, all right, let's see what you got. Just to see.
Like it's senior day?
It's my best lineup from the game before.
It's not your best lineup. Look,
let me look at the plus minus again.
Go ahead. I can't take much. The one thing I won't take away from last night's game is
anything that happened after like the 6 minute mark of the third quarter.
Well, that and the Rockets shot nearly 70% from the field in the first half, and Steph and Jimmy Butler scored like no points early. I don't expect that to translate to game six. So while the Rockets were dominant and you congratulate them for putting their foot on the Warriors' throats and winning that game, I don't think what happened in game five is translatable. I know people are leaning into, wow, the Rockets are the better team. Okay.
Every time they win.
Every time they win a game, everyone gets to the Rockets are the better team, or because they lose close because they can't shoot free throws. Well, all that matters in a series.
Yeah.
And your habits in the regular season are translating to the postseason because you never shoot free throws well, and that becomes a thing in the postseason. It causes you to lose games. How does that make you the better team? Just because you can be more athletic, you can have a deeper talent pool, but if the Warriors drag you into a game where you have to execute late and you don't, then they impose their will on you, and all your issues came to the forefront and you lose. So how are you the better team? If you can't impose your will over four games, let's say the Rockets know. I don't know if they're self-aware. Let's say they know. If we get into a close game, our chances of winning are very low because we are not built for that right now. And they can't impose their will four times to make these blowouts because the Warriors are controlling the pace and doing what they want to get it to tight games, then maybe the Warriors are the better team because they are running the rhythm of the series. That's just my thought. Now, the Rockets win the next two, and it's the way they play, then that's how these games go, then yes, we can have that conversation. But needing a win at home to push it to six games when you started out with the first two games at home, I don't buy that they're the better team. You might like their talent, fine. But we've seen that doesn't always matter.
Yeah, they're better athletes.
On paper, sure.
And like if you go like this guy or this guy, there's more of this guy on the Rockets. But also like we've seen the games, like they're just not as good as like a cohesive basketball team late.
Yeah. And if you're going to win a series, you probably are going to have to win a couple close games. And so far, the Rockets have proven that's not in their bag.
Also, there's a lot of guys where you go, is Jalen Green a better player than this player on the Warriors? There's a lot of guys you'd say Jalen Green's better than that he really hasn't outplayed for much of the series.
Yeah, another thing is Jalen Green has a role to play on this Rockets team, which exceeds some of the roles of the guys you'd comp him to. Are those guys better in their roles than Jalen Green is in his role right now? And the answer is, for almost all the Warriors you can name, yes. The roles that they are responsible for, they are better currently in this series than he is. And because his role is more important than theirs, it shows up to the Rockets' net deficit.
Yeah. I mean, like, Jalen Green or Pods is better?
So far, Pods.
Yeah, who's the, like, the overall better player, probably Jalen Green. Who's played better this series? Pods.
Yeah. Pods knows he's a third.
They both have a game where they led their team to victory.
Yes. Pods has a role where he's the third guy. Now, he has to be aggressive when Steph's on the floor, but a lot of his stuff comes off the other guys. So while Jalen Green's role asks more of him, that's just what it is, and Pods has performed, as you said. They've got one game apiece. That's the problem, though. Pods can have the one game and be the Pods game. Yeah. It should be a Jalen Green series, not a Jalen Green game. It shouldn't be, hey, remember that game two that Jalen Green had? That's not his role. We can't be singling out games where he's great. It has to be, man, Jalen Green really took over the series. That's what he's supposed to do, at least maybe half the time, and he's done it once. He didn't need to do it yesterday, so I'm not going to criticize him for the 11 points yesterday. That was a total team demolition of the Warriors.
The actual stats from last night's game is just whatever.
Yeah, what do you take from that? They legit shot 69.7% from the floor.
It is
in the first half.
It is crazy that teams can just like do that. Yeah, like a poor shooting team could just like, hey, you know what? Let's just play with energy and make all of our shots.
And then the next time you see them, what happened to that team?
Yeah.
Just the ebbs and flows,
like,
of the series.
It got to a point where anyone on the Rockets put up a shot, I was like, that's probably going in.
Yeah, it was their night, and it was a nice night, and hopefully it isn't just the final ebbs of the season where, oh, thanks for your effort, Rockets. Mm-hmm. We'd like to see them come back for Game 7 and see what they have in a do or die. Once again, a lot of people. Maybe not once again, really, but Game 6 is one where you say the Warriors have the pressure. I don't know if they'll approach it that way other than, hey, let's not stretch this to a Game 7 because it'll adversely affect us playing a Wolves team with all that rest. But just give it a shot. Let's see if you can push it to 7, and then we can kind of test the mettle of both these teams in a situation where one of these teams' season ends disappointingly, because whether you're the Warriors, you're blowing a 3-1 lead, or you're the Rockets and you lose a Game 7 at home. So hopefully we can have a conversation about that. They got to win Game 6 first. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We get into the Astros. They did not complete the sweep. A blue ball came out there and immediately got optioned, which was probably the way that was going to go no matter how well he pitched, but the Astros drop one to Detroit. Detroit avoids the sweep. So we'll talk about that. And we'll get into some of the other things that happened yesterday as well. So if you want to call in with the show, you can. Maybe you're representative of a famous internet personality. You say, why would you say that?
Global superstar.
Is that how he was
described
to you? A global superstar's representative called us during the break. We'll talk about that. I don't know if we should talk about what they want us to promote.
I think we should specifically not do that.
But we should talk about the call that Sean just got. We'll get to that in a little bit. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, the Astros were down early. They had a pitcher you probably never heard of, and his last name, depending on how mature you are, can lead you to jokes, but he'll take 2 out of 3 from the Tigers, who had come in playing good baseball. They were leading the AL Central when they walked into Daikin Park, and they left with 2 L's out of 3. So you'll take it. But yesterday, in a getaway game, they lost 7-4. A grand slam was the difference. Jeremy Pena made a crucial error. Javier Baez took advantage of it with the grand slam. But, you know, when you've got a blue ball on the mound, You can kind of perceive or predict the loss is going to happen, and that's what happened. Jeremy Pena, who right now at least is thriving from the leadoff spot, had 3 hits yesterday. Did not do the young pitcher any favors, except when he had that leadoff homer. I like Jeremy, we love you, and then later it's like, oh Jeremy, come on. But he's been the bats. He had that long hitting streak. But now the average is certainly picking up as he's getting the multi-hit games in. That average is at .282 right now. As far as the guys in the lineup yesterday, highest batting average on the team. So Jeremy Pena, error aside, has done a good job this year. And we'll see how long he stays in that leadoff role, because we know Altuve would like a little bit more time getting in from left field before his first at-bat when he's at home. So there it is. But Sean... Oh, by the way, I do want to let you know Raheel Ramzanali will join us. He should be with us at 11:15. He is the host of CityCast, a podcast that informs you about all the good things happening and maybe not so good things happening in the city of Houston. So we'll get to him in the second hour. But Sean, one global superstar in Raheel to another.
Yeah.
You got a call from a representative of a global superstar about something we likely won't promote. But can you give me the rundown? And who the global superstar was?
Yes, so global superstar Michael Carroll. No, it was actually what happened. Phone rang. Hello, is this the tip line? And I was like, this ESPN 97.5, like the call-in line?
Yeah, usually callers don't start with hello.
Yeah, hello, can I provide a tip? I was worried that, like, I don't know, I was going to have to do some serious Big J journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily... It was just someone who introduced herself as from, I think she just said, like, from the office of global superstar Jake Paul.
So she didn't even give her name.
I don't think she did.
Okay.
Maybe she did. I didn't pay attention. But she started listing off Jake Paul, what was it, like some boxing accolade, which is fake. I mean, it's a real accolade, but the boxing itself
is fake.
He's not a champion of anything. He doesn't fight for belts. like
that's true.
Like, he just is a boxer.
He fights for clicks.
Yeah. Not wins. Shout out to Dan Lanning. And then she went into, it was really weird that she was plugging to me all of the Jake Paul stuff. Cause he also has a show on Max that she mentioned. I was like, sure. I already know who Jake Paul is. You know, oh, Jake Paul, the guy from Max. Got it.
Yeah, I would assume the belief would be that Jake Paul's name was enough for you to be interested in, not to promote whatever, but
if you say global superstar Jake Paul, I'm just like, got it. You could go global superstar like, I don't know, Marlon Wayans.
So,
and I'd be, and you don't need to list off
yeah,
the Marlon,
I know who
Wayans,
Marlon Wayans
accolades.
Is. Do you think that's part of his directive to call me a global superstar? Do you think that came directly from Jake Paul?
I think that's,
or just the PR team?
I think
decided?
That's the PR team.
Okay.
I also think that when you have someone like the Paul brothers, you can be more braggadocious because they are braggadocious.
Sure, it fits the brand.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, she wanted to know if we were like interested in talking about what he's doing locally in Houston this weekend. And I was just like, not particularly, not that interested.
So you're not offering him as a guest?
No.
No.
No, it was just to talk about what he's doing.
So she simply wanted us to talk about an opening he's having.
Yes.
Not to offer him to be on the show to talk about the opening.
No, absolutely
just for us
not.
To mention it. Like it's a news story that should be mentioned on the show.
Exactly.
Like,
you know, I guess what it is like the 2-minute local news story about like, hey, this famous person's opened up a restaurant. This isn't a restaurant from Jake Paul. Shocker. But that's not really what we do.
No.
He's like, hey, human interest story.
Like if he was fighting in Houston, we might mention, oh, Jake Paul is here, but it wouldn't be.
And also we'd probably get the guy he's fighting, the washed up has-been who's fighting.
Yeah, that'd be the guy who would actually come on with us, not Jake Paul himself. So for people who know who he is, which is a lot of you, and maybe
well,
even follow
okay.
him on social
so
media.
He started on YouTube.
Oh, you're going to explain it to everyone?
Yeah, I mean, that's what she did to me.
I don't want you to do to me what she did to you.
Waste your time like
yeah,
she wasted
yeah,
mine?
I'm aware. The man loves dogs. He's doing something with dogs in town. That's all. You can figure it out.
Yeah, I'm sure if you look up Jake Paul.
Houston. Sure there's something out
something.
There. But she wanted us to know, maybe wanted us to let everyone know. That's not exactly how it works.
Yeah. I also, like, I don't want to plug it, so we're not. I also was not paying attention for like half of once you started doing the spiel of what's all going to be there. I was like, listen,
you're calling the wrong guy. This is not the guy to have this conversation or this monologue with.
Yes. And then, so after I said like, yeah, probably not going to talk about this on air, which I guess we're wrong. Or I was wrong.
We're not talking about it in a way she wanted us to
talk
about.
She asked if there's someone I could, or an email that, she could circle back with, and I gave her Joe George's email.
Who is our assistant AD?
Yeah.
Assistant PD.
Generally, I thought about like just giving her just a random person's email.
A fake email address?
No. Just like because I just had my contacts open, and I just had the like intrusive thought of like, what if I just gave her just a
email one of your college buddies?
It's a random
see what they
person.
Say about it. Because why are you emailing me for? So there it is. Jake Paul's doing something in Houston. If that interests you, the possibility of, I don't know, I guess he'll be there, maybe.
I don't know if she mentioned that.
Oh, so he might not even be in town.
I feel like if he was, that would have been like
the lead?
The headline, not after I tuned out.
Maybe you just missed it.
Maybe
John.
I shouldn't tune out of phone calls. But
look, it's probably not a great way to approach it, but I get it. It happens to all of us.
That's
so
the middle of the show, too.
If you, yeah, exactly. And you're in their training. If you want to figure out what Jake Paul's doing, go to his social media. I'm sure he's going to let everyone know if he hasn't already. And maybe you're such a big Jake Paul fan, you already know.
Yeah, already. I don't know if you have to buy tickets. Again, I don't know.
Sean didn't get much information other than the global superstar was
global
in town.
Global superstar Jake
was doing something in town. So there it is.
Sure.
Jake Paul won't join the show, won't be joining anybody on the station. But we're just here to let you know he's got something going on in town shortly. Thanks for that. And thanks, Sean, for a great breakdown of that phone call while he was just simply trying to get us to a break. And speaking of that, are we late for one?
We're early to combine. So.
Okay.
It's like another
couple
three
minutes.
All
right. So once again, Astros drop one, 16-14 on the season, still playing really good baseball. Win another series, so you'll certainly take that. And they head to Chicago. And the big story there is beyond the fact that you're going to get Fromber and Hunter Brown pitching, you're also going to get Lance McCullers on Sunday. So in some ways, what you would want as your top three, depending on how you think of Spencer Arrighetti, they're going to be in Chicago pitching. So could this be what we see going forward? That all depends on how Lance McCullers pitches and how he recovers from his first outing since 2022 in a Nationals uniform. So it'll be a big start. It certainly changes what I think of this team if I can push aside Lance's injury history and say he's going to be healthy all year and pitch pretty well. Then you got a pretty good top three because Lance McCullers, even maybe not at his best, but just being good, is a good major league pitcher. So does it change what I think? We'll see on Sunday. And then the consistency that comes with it, because the Ronel Blanco, Wesneski thing, you'll take any good start. Gusto, you'll take any good start you can from those three right now. And hope is Arrigetti's back in short order, then we'll see what Lance McCullers got. So it's going to be a pretty fun week. He pitches on Sunday, and if the Rockets beat the Warriors tomorrow, they'll go on Sunday too. So we could see a big day in the city of Houston.
Biggest day Houston sports.
Nope, not really.
Since
the Rockets were in the Texans were in a playoff game.
But what else was happening, you know?
I mean, it's playoff football against the Chiefs in Kansas City.
This would be game 7 against the Warriors.
In the first round. And then there's a regular season game in Chicago. I think playoff game against the Chiefs trumps both of those things.
How about Astros World Series in Philly, same day, Thursday night football, Eagles Texans.
That's pretty good.
Same city. No, one was in Philly, crappy football game was here.
Yeah. I think were the Texans good? No, they weren't good in
2022. It was 2022.
Yeah, no. So
that's why I called it a crappy football
game.
Yeah,
I was trying to think where the Eagles were good, but the Texans
were awesome. They played in a Super Bowl.
Yeah, so no. You got to go back further, because the Texans were terrible and no one cared about them. I'm telling you, there's not a lot of great moments in the last 4 years or so, because either the Texans were terrible up until the last couple of years and the Rockets were of no consequence.
Yeah. So, I mean, Astros, so stick World with the Series World, games. Is
stick
really
with
fun.
The World Series game. But more recently, we've had a Texans playoff game, a divisional round game. Biggest sports day in the city of Houston. Oh! Take it back. We got the national title game in basketball.
That's true. That's true.
And I'm sure, were the Astros playing that night too? I'm sure they were.
Yeah, there we go.
But it was a regular season game, so who cares?
Huge. It was a massive series.
Was it the debut of the City Connect jerseys? Because it was a Monday game.
I'm just going to say yes, so it adds some meaning to that.
Yes. Either way,
that night.
It's a potential big day on Sunday where you get the return of Mr. Maven. And also...
Potentially.
A potential game seven.
We're still 1 48-minute basketball game away from...
Had to complete the toughest task ever. Going into Golden State and winning a game to extend it. To extend your series. So they got to do that first.
But then, biggest day in sports or in Houston sports history since early April.
Yeah. Which is nice. More big days. We want more of them popping up and so we can stop doing this. We have to really try hard to find the latest or the most recent big day. But we're here. Just got to win.
Huge.
I don't like huge.
It is huge.
Let's get there first.
I mean, even McCullers coming back. Like, that's massive.
No. If he pitches well.
Championship DNA.
If he pitches well, it's massive. If he's out in 2 1/3.
If he's blue ball.
His name's not blue ball.
Blue ball?
Blue ball.
If it's blue ball hours?
Yeah. Yeah. If it's Pena with an error that extends an inning and creates a disaster. We don't need that. Let's get Lance. I don't think he goes more than four anyway. I think he probably goes four. If he gets out of that clean, then we got something.
Do you think they realized they had the White Sox on the schedule and they're like, sweet, another rehab start?
I don't know if that's the way they're thinking, but I would applaud if that's what they thought.
They're just like, soft landing right here.
Hey, just go up. It's Sunday. Hey, it's a Sunday game. Maybe the White Sox have a getaway day and they're not putting out their best lineup.
They're swinging at everything.
Yeah, they're trying to get out of there. A lot of things could be playing a part in this. But either way, we'll get to see Lance and see what he's got on Sunday. Okay, we'll go to break with that. I actually did not text Raheel back. I thought I did, but I was in the middle of, you know, doing a show, so I didn't actually send the text back. I'll do that now. We'll hope to have him at 11:15, the host of the Great CityCast, where you can listen to that podcast anywhere you listen to a podcast, Apple, Spotify, whatever. So we'll hopefully hear from him at 11:15. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.